G'day again, everyone. Welcome to the Coulda Beens Interview of the Week. This week, it's our One Game Wonder segment. In 1972, Round 1, Collingwood played Richmond, and Collingwood featured a young half-back flanker from Doveton called John Walker. Proved to be John's only game of league football, but he went on to carve out a successful career in the VFA for Dandenong, and then became an even more successful businessman. John was the first CEO of the West Coast Eagles in 1987. John had some interesting insights into the new clubs at West Sydney and the Gold Coast, and also just had a great chat with the boys about footy and his year as a Doveton lad with Collingwood. Enjoy.
Who gives a rat's if the stats come in a little under? Just the one, and the sun's enough. Rip snorters only need four quarters. Check the book as we look at the One Game Wonder.
Thanks, Unc, and here on the Coulda Been Champions on ABC Local Radio every week, we check the book, as the Unc said, and find someone who played just the one, or sometimes two games of football at the very highest level, and track them down and somehow or other convince them to talk to us. And in 1972, a 20-year-old John Walker played for Collingwood at the MCG, not realising at the time that would be his one and only game for Collingwood. John joins us on the line now. Welcome to the Coulda Beens, John.
Good morning. How are you?
Very, very well. And I didn't mention in my introduction that it was you weren't finished with football, and your football path took you to a pretty historic moment. You were the inaugural CEO of the West Coast Eagles 20 years ago.
That's right, yes. I'd actually played a fair bit of football in Melbourne in the VFA too, and prior to that one game had come off a premiership-winning result with Dandenong in 71, and did the Collingwood, played a bit more football, did some coaching, and ended up in WA, where I was fortunate enough to be appointed as the CEO of the West Australian Footy League, and then out of that, of course, emerged the Eagles, and I was CEO of the Eagles and the inaugural managing director of the public company that owned them. So,
gee, Dandenong in 1971, John.
Oh,
soft times, weren't they?
They were great days of football.
Fair dinkum. We could talk about your career at the Eagles, your career in business, which is outstanding. I could do a half an hour just about Dandenong.
Rusty Miller, Paddy Flaherty.
You had some great players in that 71 side, Johnny.
They had a great, great football team, and you know, it's interesting, and probably the reason we had such a good team, 30 years later we had a reunion of that particular team, and every single person in the team, every coach, every trainer attended. Mm-hmm. We were just good mates, and it was tough. VFA footy in those days was tough, and I was lucky enough to be taught by Lyle Hendrickson how to hit people and how to fight.
Allegedly.
And, yeah, it was great. Good football. They had a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed my time there.
And you were in the half-back flank. Lyle might have been on the other half-back flank. And who was Peter Steadwell at full-back or centre-half-back?
Yeah,
or?
Peter Steadwell was full-back.
Yeah.
And, I think we had Ray Davies at centre-half-back or Kevin Shinners.
Kevin Shinners. Yeah.
And he played for Richmond, didn't he?
He did. Yeah, he did. He played for Richmond. And
and on the Channel O coverage, Phil Gibbs and Ted Henrys and that, they used to always love, you know, the ball would be kicked out the middle by Port Melbourne and going across halfback, Johnny Walker takes another mark in defence.
Good days.
Oh, and that you would have had Alan Morrow as your captain coach in those days?
I started in 69, Morrow was the coach, and then he was succeeded by Huey Mitchell, who was the coach of the premiership year.
Now, 69, you would have been a teenager, John. I'm just thinking that the undoubted toughness of VFA footy in those days, making your way at senior grade as a teenager, must have been quite daunting.
I was 17 when I played my first game, but I'd grown up in Doveton, which, if anyone knows, that area is a pretty good area, and I made my debut at Shepley Oval on the great Laurie Hill, who had just transferred over from Collingwood.
To Preston.
And played for Preston, and, so he was my inaugural game opponent, and I learned from there. But 17, I don't know, I guess I was pretty good early and petered out very early.
tell us who got you down to Collingwood.
Peter Lucas. I did peak early as a footballer. At 15, when I was going to Doveton High School, I was training at Carlton, Melbourne and Collingwood all at once. And I'd been a lifelong Collingwood supporter and still am. And I had the great privilege, and you guys would remember these names, a guy named Ernie Hug.
Yeah.
He lived up in Gippsland somewhere, and he used to turn up at Doveton High School when I was 15 in his Rolls Royce and pick me up to go to training, and then after doing that, I'd have to go and face Jack Regan, who was the club secretary, to get my $10 taxi fare to get back to Dufton. And what I'd do was, as all good Dufton boys would do, was get a cab down Punt Road to Dandenong Road and pay $2 and pocket $8. And that's the only time I got any money out of it. It wasn't a lot of money in football in those days.
No. So that year when you did play the one game at Collingwood, did you do the pre-season and all?
No, it was a bit of a late call. You know, after that early stage, I couldn't play in the under-19s, and I went off to Dandenong, as we've mentioned. And after the premiership year, Hawthorn actually were keen to have me go and play with them. And Collingwood stepped back in, and I really didn't get down to the club until late January. So that was part of the reason, I think, why, you know, I didn't last a year without getting a few injuries.
Well, John, Collingwood had come off that legendary 71 grand final, and 71 grand final had been that hard, slogging, wet day, and then 72 Collingwood are reloading. It got eliminated, I think, in the preliminary but leading at half time, and you've bobbed up, got a game first round 72.
Yeah, I guess they're a bit short of the tough backman. I think that was the theory behind it, and they wanted a bit of steel there, but I guess I just didn't make it. At the end of the day, you sort of sit back and you think, what happened? Because I think I had the ability to make more, but I really think at the end of the day, I just didn't have the pre-season, and then I didn't have enough discipline to really work hard enough to justify my place. And I probably missed Andon too. I guess, you know, it's a very different thing back in 72 football. It was, it's not the money, it wasn't the be-all. And I think when I played there, there's about a $35 paycheck to play for the seniors in the VFL and about 80 to go and play at Dandenong back in the day. So if you're not going to be a star, you didn't really think about going elsewhere in the VFL. You went home.
After the one game you played, which was against Richmond, did you stick around at the club or did you go directly back to the VFA, John?
No, I played the year out and played in the reserves most of the time. And, I started to do well, I thought. In fact, come finals time, the bigger disappointment for me was the Tuesday before the first finals game, I got my ticket presented to me as for the entry to the ground and a very strong tip that I'd be in the team. And that didn't happen, and that was, I guess, a great disappointment too. So next year I went back. I tried in the pre-season. I got very, very fit, but for some reason Neil Mann thought I wasn't very good and told me I should go back to Dandenong.
Tell us about that first game. 20 years of age, MCG... a powerful Richmond side. It must have been fabulous to run out.
It was Easter Monday, so I split around 70-odd thousand people. Monday made it hard because you've gone from Thursday having been selected and trying to, you know, stay focused over a long weekend, so a lot of nervous energy. The greatest dream of your life. I mean, I was one of those kids who, at 7 years of age, sat behind the shelter sheds and could tell you every Collingwood name and number for the first, seconds and third. So it was a real dream, and I ran out almost on a cloud and lined up on Roger Dean.
Another softie.
Yeah, so Roger, of course, being the gentleman he was, wished me all the best with my career.
With his elbow.
My hand, and then as soon as the ball bounced, whacked me. And that was on. So it's a bit of a blur. You float through that first game, but when you only have one, you do tend to remember all the detail of it. And ultimately, I think we got beaten by 4 points or thereabouts.
And then, so what happened? How were you told that you weren't playing the next week, John?
I actually did an ankle late in the game, so I had to miss a game. And with a disrupted pre-season and a crook ankle, I then made my way back in through the twos, and I think I pulled a quad muscle after one or two of those. So it was a bit disjointed. And then I just settled down to the hard yards of playing in the seconds, which, I mean, that was pretty good fun too, if you love Collingwood. Fronting up every Saturday at Victoria Park and being part of the team.
It would have been magical. Which players were keeping you out of the side? Who were you competing for at that time for spots in the ones, John?
Well, Lee Adamson was playing on a half-back flank. He was obviously a first-rater, a first-grader, and Teddy Potter at centre-half-back. So I can't even remember who took my place, and I didn't get back in. Paul Cranage, I think, played a few games at that time.
John, you're saying that Collingwood was something that took up a lot of your time.
Yeah.
What was it like when you come into a team and you're probably going to be playing with some of the people who were your heroes as you were growing up? Do you feel a bit overawed by that?
Yeah, you do, when you're young too. I mean, 1970, I'd been one of, whatever, 121,000 people hanging off the wire at the MCG when Collingwood played Carlton in that grand final. And, you know, 18 months later, you're in the team. You know, Peter McKenna, Lenny Thompson, you know, the Richardson boys, you know, Barry Price. I mean, they were all legends. Terry Waters, in fact, was also captain at the start of that year, and he'd been a Dandenong captain as well. So that was a fantastic link. I think that was written up as, you know, why I couldn't follow in his footsteps and all of those things. So, yeah, it was a dream. But just going to training, being part of the team. Of course, the footy trip at the end of the year, one of the benefits of playing one game is you get to go on the senior football trip.
Where'd you go?
Surfers Paradise.
Of course. Stupid question. I should have realised.
It was a great trip, and I actually roomed with Ronnie Weirmouth. And,
your idea. Ronnie, that's an education.
One night before he was sent home, so I got a room for myself for the remaining night.
John, can we fast forward a quarter of a century, and there you are in the driver's seat when... we've got this thing called the West Coast Eagles invented. The whole thing of franchise teams in capital cities around the country is now very much advanced, and it's all, you know, high level marketing and all the rest of it. It must have been very different back in those early days of the Eagles.
Oh, it was. You know, I started work as a CEO of the West Australian Footy League, and as you do on day one, the bosses give you a list of, you know, KPIs to follow, and one of those was a one-liner which said, get Western Australia into a national football competition.
That was
84. Okay. And for 2 years, that's what we did, and we did a whole range of things behind the scenes and above board and not above board just to try and achieve that aim. And, of course, there was no real support from the VFL for it. They wanted, if they were going to expand, and they didn't want to expand... they preferred South Australia as a first priority and Queensland as a second priority because Western Australia was a breeding ground of great football talent. So I think there were 70-odd Western Australian players playing in the league at that time. So ultimately we did force an invitation, but compared to what happens now, yeah, we had to pay $4.5 million for the privilege of joining the VFL, which was simply a matter of valuing the assets of the league and dividing them by the number of clubs. If you did that today, that would be the entry fee. We got no player concessions, of course. There was no drafting. We ultimately got just four players back from the VFL for the first year and watched over that summer as the VFL clubs pilfered another 20-plus Western Australian players into their sides. I think the four we got, I was fined $240,000 by the league for poaching.
You're sounding like a West Australian, John.
I guess the point is they made it hard. The only reason they wanted Western Australia was for its money, and that's really the end of the game. They didn't really want them in there, and they made all the negotiations difficult. By the time we'd finished, you know, rules and regulations for the entry, everybody in Western Australia thought we'd gone dudded, and everybody in Victoria thought we'd got dudded. So maybe it was a good balance.
And, John, you managed to turn the waffle around financially. Then you successfully launched the Eagles. And not only that, you've made a habit of rescuing companies, pizza companies and car rental companies from liquidation, making them successful. They haven't given you a tap on the shoulder and said, would you like a position at West Sydney, John, have they?
No. I live on the eastern suburbs of Sydney, so the west is a long way.
You plan to stay there?
Well, I don't know. I personally think it's a joke, the whole concept. But
it's hard to see it working, isn't it, John?
Well, the Swans struggle as it is, and football at the grassroots in Sydney is just not there. My younger son, who's now 19, played junior football, and as he went through, I think from under 15s, they couldn't even keep one side in the eastern suburbs. They kept having them amalgamate, and there's just no ground.
They tell us that the junior competition in New South Wales is very strong in AFL, though.
Well, if you count Auskick, it probably is. But it's not. It's, you know, it's not normal. It's not the sport. You don't see kids in the street kicking footies on the parks like you do in the other states.
And John, you can sit back and watch the Gold Coast team put itself together and compare it with your experience with the Eagles and just weep.
Yeah, well, what a leg up.
Yeah. To put it mildly. John, thanks very much for talking to us today.
It's been a pleasure.
John Walker played one game for Collingwood in 1972 and went on to become the first CEO of the West Coast Eagles.
And a long way from Doveton to the eastern suburbs of Sydney.
I think so.
It'd be more than a $10 taxi ride.